We've talked the whole night through.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Good morning. Good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning. Good morning to you.
This is WPTF Radio, Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'm Reese Edwards.
Hello, everybody. Atlantic Coast Conference Tournament basketball is on the air. This is Wally Ausley.
This is Bill Jackson speaking.
Hello, everybody. Welcome now to Sportsline. Gary Dornberg with you.
I'm Tony Rixby, WPTF News.
Hello, this is Charles Kuralt, CBS News, on WPTF in Raleigh.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Carolina Newsmakers. I'm Don Curtis.
Hello, friends. This is Bill Friday, WPTF in Raleigh.
I'm Rufus Anderson on the Weekend Gardener.
Now, here is your moderator, Tom Campbell.
Thanks for watching this week's NC Spin.
Now, here is Hank Kaiser.
Hi, y'all. Well, that's good.
This is Art Devine.
This is Robert St. John in the NBC Newsroom in New York.
The Monitor edition of News of the World.
Debnam views the news. And now, here is Mr. Debnam.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Yours truly, Sam Beard,
and Jim Reed,
and Carl Gert.
Thank you, Sam, and greetings to all of our listeners.
This is Harriet Presley, WPTF in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Wayne Edda is standing by now with a check of the latest news.
WPTF News presents Regional Report, a digest of late happenings throughout the area.
This is Bill Ellis.
This is Jimmy Capps. The Nocturne we send as...
This is Bill Hope.
This is Warren Barfield with Kingdom Scott at the organ and a program of familiar carols.
Good morning, this is Phil Franklin.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
And this is J.C. Knowles with the North Carolina Collection on WPTF.
I'm Mike Blackman, WPTF News.
Good evening, I'm David Sherrill.
This is Robert Hager, WPTF News.
This is Bob Farrington.
Good morning, everybody. Charlie Gaddy here with Ask Your Neighbor.
Mario Dill here.
Fess Parker, our guest this morning here at News Talk 680.
Well, Jack Boston, that was a great introduction.
Hey, everyone, great to have you with us. This is North Carolina's Morning News. I'm Brian Freeman on WPTF.
Hello, I'm your friend Bart Rittner.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Bob Butler Show, and this is Ned Champion reporting.
And here is Carl Venters. WPTF is the voice that shares with its neighbors what it's like to be living the life of Raleigh.
This is Donna Mason on 680 WPTF.
And I'm Dick Stork in the WPTF Record Vault. Good morning to you.
Tom Kearney here.
Johnny Hood on the Southern Farm Network.
Well, howdy, everybody. I'm Hap Hansen.
I'm Marlon Bowling reporting.
This is Charles Osgood wishing Mike Raley and Ann Clapp congratulations on the anniversary of WPTF's Weekend Gardener program.
I'm Mike Raley, the Weekend Gardener. Welcome in, everybody.
I'm Ann Clapp.
And this is a Tar Heel Gardener saying, keep them growing.
Yes, Paul Harvey and yours truly are now in there. I decided, you know,
I aggravated you enough about that.
I'm
over
almost
the years.
72. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be doing this stuff. You just never know. I mean, you just really never know. We've lost people. I've lost several friends here in the last year or two. Lost Maury. You know, 6 weeks after we interviewed him here in this studio, and it just really makes you stink. Makes you stink too, but it makes you think.
Did you say stink?
I said stink. It makes you think. It makes you think. So that's why I did that. You know, when I'm not hosting the show anymore, I don't know what's going to happen to the show. I don't know who's going to host it. If anybody hosts it, you know, it's up to the powers that be. But I don't know if they'll ever use this montage again. So I'll let it run a couple of times with me in it, and I'll be here as long as they let me. I'll be here as long as y'all are here. And, you know, my core group of people, I can't do it by myself, wouldn't want to do it by myself. Boy, would that be boring for everybody, me included.
No. So, well, the same thing goes, well, you're not here, we're not here.
No, I got Tom Campbell. Tom's probably a lot better than me. And, you know, it's just...
No, I mean, if you somehow left the show...
I have given my life to this station. this. I have. I truly have. And to this show, there's nobody who has been. I'm not sure how to express it. Really, I mean, it's like my child.
It's a lot of sacrifice too.
It's a lot of sacrifice.
Events you've missed.
I have missed a lot of stuff. I mean, I fortunately, for me, married a wonderful human being, but she also has a beach cottage. She in that family, there's a beach cottage. I missed so many weekends going to the beach or whatever, and so many things with my kids, baseball games and stuff. But I love this show. And, I guess I did create it. John Harris had the basis for it, the Tar Heel Gardener, but this is a completely different show. And we made sure that it had a completely different name because, my gosh, John Harris was an icon, and Tar Heel Gardener was an institution.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this show is now.
It is.
It certainly is. Bill Friday said it was an institution, so that makes it an institution.
There you go.
But I don't mean to get so sentimental about this, but it's
why not?
It all means a great deal to me, and I thought I'd throw my name in there, even though that's
definitely. And this
but
is...
I had trouble deciding where to put it. And that's been part of the fun. Where do I put these people? Where do I put some say no. I'd rather, can't you move me? I'd rather be over here. I want to be between.
I'm just happy to be on it.
Me too.
Me as well. This is my 30th year helping occasionally on the weekend gardener.
That's
a long
hard
time.
To believe. I know. 30. 30
I was
years.
30. Now I'm 60. Wow.
I remember the first time you did it. You did it while we were on remote at the old Civic Center. We were doing a show there. And I'm not sure for what purpose.
I don't either. I don't remember that.
Well, because you were nervous.
I was nervous.
Yeah.
Several times
so,
I got nervous.
So was nervous?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, Nelson was nervous.
I was.
I do remember that, too. But
Mike
had a
way of calming me, though.
There's no reason to be nervous on this show.
Hey, I was 30. What
and
was
I found out, can you imagine how I felt when I first came to this place?
Wow.
And I had the first time I was on the air was just doing IDs. We did live IDs. And everything, it had to be timed out. But mine were very easy. I did IDs during the Metropolitan Opera.
Like plan
oh my
IDs?
Goodness.
Yeah,
plan
they
IDs
would or? They would let's pause for our stations to. So I would do WPTF in Raleigh, North Carolina. But yeah, it's so I've evolved in that, and boy, have I made a lot of mistakes, but I had all these people to. And nobody really taught me anything. Nobody made an effort to teach me. This is a business. It's not a place to be taught, or at least it wasn't back then. I had all of these legendary people. But just watching them, and they were all nice to me, just watching them was what I needed. And, making mistakes, and I still make them, but... Like I'm talking too much, and Susan is on the line. But Susan Griggs is with us from the Iris Society, right, Susan?
Hello, yes, I am. And
have you sold any iris this morning?
Yes, we're selling iris hand over fist. A gentleman came in and bought over $300 worth.
Wow!
Ooh, so, I hope that our neighbors will come. We still got plenty left.
Great.
And the price is $7 for a beautiful bare root iris that you can go and plant right now in your iris garden.
It's a great price.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you're at the Arboretum, and I assume in the education center there where all the offices and so forth?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So tell us how to get there because, Hillsboro and Blue Ridge – have a problem. They've been building, trying to build a tunnel there. And so tell us how to get to the Arboretum, the best way to get there.
Well, the best way I know is you got to come up Hillsborough Street from going west, and that's the way we had to finally get here.
Right.
It was, they've got our usual route closed. So I don't know if you're coming from other directions how you're going to get here, frankly.
Right.
Wonder if you could go down Western Boulevard and turn on Method and then, you know, before
yeah,
you...
that's the way we had to come.
Yeah, that's how
that's hit Barrel Road before you cross the railroad track. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, stay off of that railroad track. Whatever you do.
Then, you shouldn't have to cross it.
If you can take Method. But, yeah. I mean, if you're coming there along past Meredith College or coming off the Beltline, and you can take that, you can go across the railroad tracks down there. I'm not familiar with all the businesses or landmarks now.
Neumann's, you got to get some food.
But you can't really see that.
No, you can't.
You can't see it from there. I was trying to think of now, but it's a kind of an infamous.
It's Barrel Road. It's 4415 Barrel Road. So if you got a GPS or whatever in your car.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to tell you if what it tells you to do with all the problems. Yeah,
it may lead you.
You may end up flying.
Drop in the parachute.
That may be, but a lot of people found us this morning.
Well, so good,
excellent.
Susan, do you have a daily iris named Carolina Sunshine?
We don't currently here. But
well,
I
have that from my cousin in Johnson City, Tennessee, years ago, gave me an iris that she called Carolina Sunshine. You heard of that either, Nelson?
Not other than you brought it up before.
Yeah. Well, maybe she just made that up, but it sure is a wonderful iris.
Sounds like one Lolita Powell may have hybridized, because she had a series that she called Carolina.
Mm-hmm. I remember her very well.
Carolina Angel, Carolina, you know, on and on and on.
All right, Susan, why don't you tell us when to divide, when to do this, do that with the irises?
I'll be happy to.
All right.
And I want to encourage the neighbors to buy something other than just tall bearded iris. They're wonderful, but you need to extend the season of iris. And you can start with tiny ones that are maybe up to 8 inches tall, and then one that grow from 8 to 16 inches tall. So ask about the median irises, M-E-D-I-A-N, median. There are several varieties of median irises that are small, and you can put them on the, by the doorstep or at the front of your border. And they bloom beautifully early in the season, in April, and then into May, some of them. But ask for those. And right now, you should be dividing, digging, and dividing. And it's a wonderful time, just any time in June and July. About 8 weeks after that iris blooms, they kind of go to sleep, and that's the time to dig and divide them. There are websites that you can go to. We're part of the American Iris Society, and their website is irises.org. That's irises.org, and that gives you a lot of hints there and all the directions for digging and dividing. We also have directions, and we have people who can diagnose your problems and try to help you out. So please come today if you can.
Irises don't have a lot of problems.
Irises for $7. And then on, we also have some, a lot of potted irises for a little higher price than that. But you can take them home and then pick a cool day like 85 degrees, and if we ever have one of those again, and then get out and put that iris in the ground, because they really need to be in the ground and not just in a pot forever.
irises don't have a lot of really big problems, though, do they, Susan?
Not a lot.
Yeah.
If you treat them carefully and try to maintain the adequate amount of moisture, but not too much, and don't plant them too deep.
Mm-hmm.
They're not bulbs. They don't need to be covered over. The tops of the rhizome, that potato-looking thing that the leaves grow out of, just loves to be in the sun a little bit mm-hmm. on the top. So it's really a modified stem. It's part of the stem, and so it doesn't need to be
in the ground
covered over with yeah. soil so much. Just you, when, anchored well.
When one blooms, Susan, do you recommend cutting the stalk out?
After that stalk has done its job, yeah, you can cut it. The best is a sharp, clean knife so that you aren't transferring any kind of...
I keep a squirt bottle full of alcohol with me at all times outside.
And then cut that stalk off down pretty close to the rhizome. But leave the leaves unless you're dividing. When you do dig, you need to cut the leaves back because they lose some of the...
by the way, Susan, I realize what I just said. I said I keep a bottle of alcohol with me.
Is that vodka or...
I meant rubbing alcohol.
Oh, thank you for letting me laugh.
Oh, gosh.
I was holding it back.
I do not want people to think that I stayed drunk out with the irises.
A squirt for you and a squirt for me.
Or in your car.
Oh, Lord.
Susan, you... We're a rowdy bunch.
Alcohol around. I'm so glad.
Lord.
An old-fashioned sterilant.
Yeah.
I want to ask about, I love also Japanese iris and Louisiana iris. And I assume that some of them bloom later, too. What along with the bearded iris, what is the blooming time on, say, a Japanese iris and a Louisiana iris, for instance?
Susan?
I think she hung up.
Did we lose Susan? She was kind of fading in and out.
Well, Nelson can answer that.
Do we have Susan back?
I love the iris cristata.
Okay, now we got you. Yeah. What was your question again, Rufus?
I wanted to know the planting sequence of, I love Japanese iris. The
flowering sequence.
And Louisiana.
Okay,
is there a planting sequence that you get a later bloom out of either one of them?
Yes. Beardless should be planted in a little cooler weather because they bloom a little later, and so they can be planted in September. And by the way, we do have a sale in bearded irises, and we'll have some Japanese and so on. It's September the 7th, Saturday, September the 7th, here at the Arboretum again in the Education Building.
Yeah, well, I'm very interested
in
that.
From 9 to 2.
Do you have any of the native irises, the iris cristatas, or the ones you'll...
I don't think we have any for sale.
Gotcha.
I know that we don't today, and I doubt that we'll have those
later on.
Well, Susan, I really appreciate you spending some time with us to talk about iris. And I'm just so glad you called.
I'm glad to talk with you, and be careful of that alcohol in the car.
Yeah, that's all right.
That was for disinfectant purposes at all.
That's right.
Totally, Susan.
Okay. I did want to tell you that we're on Facebook, and we've taken some pictures this morning. So go to Eastern North Carolina Iris Society on Facebook, and you can see what's happening this morning.
All right. Well, I'll do that.
And thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Susan. Great job.
Have a good day, Gardner.
Bye-bye. Susan Griggs, who is with the Iris Society. And, wow, it's amazing. There's beautiful little place. Everybody's got them. Everybody's got iris, but you don't necessarily know what you have.
Yeah.
So you like iris a lot?
I do.
Your mama like iris?
She does. She has a great collection of iris. If she's listening, she's probably like, why didn't you tell me? I'm going to drive up. And, you know, she loves iris and hosta and peonies and daylilies. So, yeah.
You probably got a job now that you've mentioned it, of dividing some iris.
I know, but I'm going to go to the beach. She can divide them.
Oh, man.
Don't talk back to your mama.
No, she has great iris, and they're so stunning. They were beautiful this year. And, you know, my birthday is around early May, and she used to always at the garden hut bring me a bouquet of iris.
Ah.
We would have a garden party the first Saturday in May.
Nice.
And just her cultivars are just amazing.
That'd be unusual to have somebody that could bring you some flowers
in
your
it.
Position.
I know.
As owning the garden hut.
I love it. I love it, though.
919-860-9783. More of the Weekend Gardener straight ahead. That's right. Isn't that right?
Well, they must,
quite often I just...
Must be very similar. Both tops must be very similar.
They are.
To fit on there.
They are. And one didn't fit quite right.
Yeah.
Talking about...
Did you force it or something?
I don't know what I did.
Is it like those things Mama's got where you got a handle over here and a handle there? And you
You
got
to work. Yeah, right. We're talking about a pressure cooker accident this week. I don't know if Melissa's driving back from the beach wondering what in the world am I coming home to? But I'm a fastidious cleaner once I get it. So but she is an inspector. I would never in the last 49 years, I probably have never gotten away with anything. Well, had I tried to hide anything. She knows. I swear to that she inspects the garbage cans. She knows. I mean, she knows everything that I do.
The shadow knows.
She's like the shadow. Yeah. So she's driving back from the beach now. Maybe I don't know. And hearing about this for the first time.
Oh, but, man.
That's only a tease, Melissa. If you didn't hear the earlier part, I'm just going to let you
figure it out.
Confront me when you get home.
Mm-mm-mm.
But everything's all right. Everything's okay. No damage, even to the pressure cooker or the butter beans. I lost a few butter beans, but it was mainly the pot liquor.
Well, she's going to have to put some kind of markings on this, so if there's ever another
incident. I immediately thought about that, number one and number two.
Yeah.
But
one and one, two and two.
Yeah.
But if I did that, Melissa would say, no, it should be A and B. So I held off. I did not mark them. But that you're right. She set up a trap for me is what she did.
You had a 50-50 chance.
Yeah, it's a good thing I wasn't betting that day.
Ooh.
All right, so 919-860-9783, 919-860-WPTF. It has been so hot, and we talked about the corn and tomatoes not acting like they were supposed to, getting too hot. Not forming the way they should. Maybe some of them are way too small. What are some other things that you've noticed, Nelsa, that are really suffered from the heat this year?
Well, in our area, definitely the pastures. You can't say greener pastures. Mm-hmm. With the rain we recently have, they have. And around my area, in L.A., Lower Apex, tobacco has really struggled. But again, it's something that I saw it jump just over these past 5 days. I feel like you know, squash and zucchini and vegetables of that sort. Cucumbers, some of them are still hanging in, the ones the deer hadn't eaten. But I feel like squash and zucchini, I just felt like the heat was just so much on it. Some areas not being able to get water to them, that they suffered. And they just, you know, I can usually get them to last much longer. So I felt like that struggled. Plant-wise, I would say, especially those in landscapes that are newly planted, if you're not supplementing or hadn't supplemented, then they could be a little peaked, a little weak. So important, definitely on new plants, to keep the moisture. So, you know, I think conifers have taken a little bit of a hit during this drought. You know, I think the hydrangeas are adaptive. I mean, they look wilty, but they're pretty adaptive. I know we have one hydrangea. We refer to it as Mama's hydrangea. Probably been there, I don't know, 50 years, and beautiful blue flowers. And, boy, she looked bad. Many mornings I walked by her, I'm like, you still wilted, old girl. But she came back. She looked great yesterday when I went in.
So, and it's not lack of water necessarily. It can heat really affects hydrangeas.
It does. It can be the
And
heat.
You told me that. I've always remembered it.
Yeah, and that is, yeah, I call it an indicator plant. And, you know, what I usually say, if it's still wilted in the morning, then it probably needs a drink of water, especially if it's a new plant.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, it is just kind of a survival technique for the plant to be a little floppy looking, especially from the heat. Late in the afternoon, and that's why I say don't water, even if it's a new plant. Wait until the next morning to see if it rehydrated itself. But this plant is so established and so old that it just stayed wilted for like weeks. But once our farm finally got some rain, it bucked right back up. Looks fabulous. So,
well, the one plant at my home that's gone down is the Mike Raley.
Figures.
Yeah, the Mike Raley Limelight hydrangea.
That loves sun, too.
Yeah, it faded, and I hit it with a little bit of water the other day, and it's back up now.
Right back up, uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, watering is probably one of the hardest things to figure out as a gardener, as a homeowner in your landscape. Obviously, container plants are going to need a little more water than what, God graces us with, because the soil is, you know, the roots are not in the ground, so your container plants are going to get warmer and probably dry out much quicker than those that are in the ground. But it's a trick to figuring out what works for you in your spot and what soil may hold more moisture than, you know, say, soil that's in the front yard or a sunny spot or the south side. So it's just all about figuring it out. And good soil amending and just good weekly walkabouts. As Rufus said this morning, you did your walkabout at 6 a.m. and checked out what plants were looking good in your yard. So, homeowners, same thing. You just scout once a week or every other week, and you can learn a lot from your garden and your plants by just doing that.
Rufus, that Limelight is 13 years old because I gave it to you on your 70th birthday.
Oh, my. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
Well,
a little bit weepy.
Yeah, I would be,
but
too.
It's not in good soil. That one side, I have all these microclimates in mm-hmm. my 2.5 acres.
We were talking
acres.
About that yesterday and the rain.
Yeah, in different places, different things, and that's how you learn. By doing your daily walks, I know certain things are not good to put some place, and other things are good somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the many things that you learn by trial and error sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and good, really great gardeners kill things.
Absolutely.
They kill things all the time at the Arboretum because they're testing.
This is
That's
true.
That's a testing for the nursery industry.
This is true.
Yeah. So,
I mean, the goal is you want to be successful, but, you know, sometimes you lose a plant. My favorite is you buy three of you know, whatever, one Nandina or one Willer pendulum, and you know, you're like, I planted them all the same way. I did it all exactly the same way. They had the same amount of water, but they're just, you know, it's kind of like, well, you have three kids, and one kid for some reason has a cold more so than the other two throughout his life. I mean, it just can happen that way. It's not necessarily a weak child or a weak plant. As you say, there can just be an air pocket that developed in that planting root area, root ball area, that didn't happen on the other two. There's always a reason. You know, human failure is actually a blessing, but I think human failure is unacceptable to some people, and that's what it is. It's usually a human error that caused some mishap with a plant, and that's okay.
I have tried to grow a longleaf pine in my yard, and just not going to happen.
You need more than one, huh?
Yep.
Well, they're almost human-like. They almost have human-like qualities, the longleaf pine. They're such an interesting
cousin
plant. Yeah, and they, I don't know, just reading about the longleaf pine and their habits, you know, how they are in that kind of a, they have a grass stage for a few years.
Cousin it.
Yeah. I mean, they do look like that. And I think about them, I think about longleaf pines every time I drive down through the Sandhills area.
Rayford and.
Yeah. I mean, because there is a 500-year-old longleaf pine somewhere down in the Sandhills.
Whiteman Forest, I think. Yes.
What's the name of it again?
Whiteman.
Yeah.
Whiteman. Okay. Yeah. Well, that'd be worth going to see, Mel.
Yeah, I've seen it. It's guarded.
Is it good?
Thank goodness they got the one I saw. Now, it's got to be the one.
Do you remember the dealership that was right there in Pittsburgh?
The Chevrolet dealership?
Yes.
Justice, yeah. The building's still there. It's a restaurant.
The building is, but so where the cars were parked across the street from the restaurant.
Yeah.
There used to be I don't know if it was the oldest, but it was the largest holly tree, Alex Opeka, the native holly tree, in their parking lot. Somebody cut it down after they sold the. It made me sad.
I remember.
But
that.
It used to be the
I remember
largest.
When I would.
Yeah, it was on the.
I'd go down and see my friend Cecil Williams, and I'd ask you about that tree. He said it's been there forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a huge, huge.
Big girth, big tree. It was pretty awesome. So I was sad when I found out it was gone.
I don't know that I ever knew about that.
Oh, I know you had to have ridden by it many, many,
I'm sure
many,
I did,
many
yeah.
times.
But
yeah,
I don't know that Melissa ever said anything about it.
Yeah,
how about that?
Very sad.
And then the dogwood that's in the cemetery in Sampson County, the largest dogwood in the world, I guess.
I think
it's ailing now. There's another. They've planted another one there. Maybe it's part of the, you know, an offspring.
I didn't know dogwood is that long lived.
You know, some of them can be if you got good genes.
I mean, it's huge.
Yeah,
it's,
that's it. Good genes.
Size of a maple or oak tree.
Yeah. Oh,
I mean, it's
gosh.
Huge.
Yeah, absolutely.
A.J. Bullard, Dr. A.J. Bullard, who passed away a few years ago, used to call the show, and he was a self-taught botanist, dentist, but he was a self-taught botanist.
Wow.
I mean, he was recognized all over the country.
Oh, yeah, I remember him, yeah.
He was the one that first told us about that.
Well, I'm going to take my mom on a trip not this week, but probably next week, or we may wait till it cools down. But Bishop, South Carolina, is the now home and 3-acre garden to Pearl Fryer. He's the Edward Scissorhands.
Oh my!
Sculptor. He has rescued plants his entire life.
Bishop.
And he's 84, I believe.
There's a Bishopville, but there's also a Bishop, South Carolina.
Bishopville.
Oh, okay.
Bishopville,
yeah.
My fault.
So that's not too far. There's a Bennettsville and a Bishopville.
Bishopville, yeah.
And there's a garden, by the way, at Georgetown. It's in sort of a cemetery that I love when I'm down there. In Georgetown, South Carolina.
Oh, Georgetown. Oh, yeah. I know one of the oldest oak trees is in Georgetown. It's not like a paper mill, but we passed through there on our way to Charleston. Yeah. Used to be a nursery I'd go visit down there. I guess it's still there. But, yeah, I'm trying to think of... that's near Monk's Corner, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I can't.
Well, Georgetown, yeah. It's on 17.
Yeah, it's
between. It's between Myrtle Beach and
which it's near
and Charleston.
It's near Brook Green Gardens and the Middleby Place or Middleby.
You're talking about that huge, huge dogwood. The most amazing tree around this area that I know of are those crepe myrtles at the J.C. Ralston Arboretum.
Seedlings
from the National Arboretum and then
maple tree size.
They're stunning. Stunning. One of them, I guess, is Fantasy. And one of them is called Townhouse. Uh-huh. That one used to be planted over, I want to say, near the Japanese garden. But yes, they're amazing. They are stunning.
I have a Muskogee that is huge.
Muskogee.
A crepe myrtle.
Wow.
It's just.
You have a Catawba, too, the purple, the darker purple.
I have three of them.
Okay.
Yeah. And they really look pretty this
color.
Year. It's,
yeah.
it's a deep, beautiful, very striking purple.
I love that plant. It's so cool.
All right, we're quickly running out of time here on the Weekend Gardener, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Mercy.
Tempus fugits.
Well,
while you're doing that, we better do the Edward Jones.
Yeah, why don't you do
Joyner.
That, and then I'll talk about King's Auto Service.
All right. All right, never let the fear of striking out keep you from playing the game. Guess who said that? Babe Ruth,
wow.
Never keep what?
Never let the fear of striking out keep you from playing the game.
Yeah. Yeah. You won't ever get anywhere if you're worried about failure.
That's right.
Yeah, that's part of life. Whether it's cooking or whatever you're doing.
Stay out of the kitchen.
I didn't fail though. It was a rocky road.
I'm gonna do the can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen with Mike Rayleigh.
You know, all of the problems that we have in this world, it just with your car and truck and, you know, you got to get places and you want to keep that in good shape just like you keep the human body in good shape, right? Well, what does your doctor tell you? Preventative maintenance is basically what he tells you. You know, go get a checkup before things go wrong or you catch them before it goes too far. Well, that's what you can do at King's Auto Service. Get a summer checkup. You know, it's good to get them more than once a year, and you can make sure the air conditioning's in good shape, check all the filters, check the belts, check the water in the radiator, make sure it's a good mixture there because you don't want any problems with that. Cars are so complicated now, so you need to take them to really smart people, and you don't get any smarter than Dean Bailey and his group. So King's Auto Service, for whatever problem you have with your car, and they'll check the tires, all the basics, and the brakes. Got to have brakes. All right, not unless you're Fred Flintstone, you just got to have brakes. And if you have a hybrid vehicle, they're real wonders, but you got to maintain them. And King's Auto Service has certified hybrid technicians to do that, and they'll help you diagnose any problems with that high voltage battery or, for goodness sake, that 12 volt battery that you have in all cars. And if you start having problems with that big high voltage battery, they can get you a replacement for cheaper than the dealer can do that. So call King's on Monday, schedule a courtesy battery analysis, get your oil changed, whatever you want to do at King's Auto Service, 1039 Northwest Street in downtown Raleigh, and at kingautomotive.net. King's Automotive Service, Raleigh's most reliable auto care since 1946.
Awesome.
All right.
And I just, again, wanted to say in Fuquay Marina, Logan's Garden Hut, they are having their Extravagrinza, which is basically a houseplant sale. Great deals. I mean, great selection, but 25 to 75% off. And it includes houseplants, air plants, succulents, African violets, and I believe their indoor pots are also on sale. But, you know, if you're looking for something to do, head on down to Fuquay and visit the, it's hard for me to say, Logan's Garden Hut.
I know,
garden
that's hut. It. Logan's Garden, garden hut. Hut. It's still the Garden Hut.
Yes, it is. Yeah. But they're located at 1004 Old Honeycutt Road, Fuquay Arena.
There you go. How about that? Do we need to take a break or anything, Jason? Okay. He says no. Boy, did he say no. Like, what's wrong with you, old man?
Yeah, right. Here I am.
No, no, I qualify. I qualify for that. So, gee, what were we talking about plant-wise?
Let's get back to that. We were talking about the heat.
The heat generally has affected so many plants.
So I feel like, coneflowers and black-eyed Susans and stuff like that, which are great to help feed our birds and our butterflies and things like that. They could be in some prime, but especially now that we're getting some rain, but some of them may have bloomed earlier, so May or June, and, with this heat, it could have hurt them to some degree. So my suggestion would be to cut them back, because they're going to flush right back out and flower, bud, be beautiful again for late August and September. So if you have some tired-looking perennials that just haven't liked this heat, prune them back. They're going to flush right back out, and you're going to get more blooms. So that's a super great idea. That'll present some color going towards the tail end of summer and beginning of through the fall season. Another thing is, just to keep the fall season in mind, is ornamental grasses. Nurseries are starting to get in a lot of the ornamental grasses. It's a great time to plant. But if you want to see what the plumes actually look like, then you may want to wait until they start coming in kind of mid, end of August, September. But I love to see the ornamental grasses. They're super drought tolerant. Once established, they're beautiful in the fall.
I love the muley grass in the winter. Stunning. I mean, it's the sun, showing through and the pink.
Just pops. Yeah. It
really does.
There's a pretty white muley grass too. And the other thing is that with the muleys that I like is placing them in either eastern direction, so you see the morning sun with the little dew drops.
Yeah, and mask them.
Yeah. Or you could even do the western late sun and that sun that shines through at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. It's very striking, very beautiful.
That's not a pot. That wouldn't grow well in a pot, would it?
Probably not. Yeah. And then, through the winter months, it's probably not going to look that great. Right.
Yeah, you're not going to get the effect.
Exactly.
Somebody on my walking route has some really pretty ones. I always look for...
You're in a walking group?
Route, I'm sorry.
Oh. Okay. Very cool.
Route, yeah. I always love seeing these during the winter.
Oh, they're so fun.
Particularly, yeah.
Yeah, so, big fall, winter. And, I just love that we have four seasons, although some of them tend to be short, but
sort of
starting to look forward to fall now, but
I always look, I'm more of a fall winter person. I love summer I love the butter beans and the peas and peaches and the blueberries.
Yeah. But summer's a great time to get ideas too. So if it's, anytime's a great time to get ideas. But
as long as we have enough rain, I love the look of the landscape in the summer.
And that's what I was going to say is just driving around, see what plants are not up around a foundation, but out in someone's garden that they actually look good. And so maybe you put that on your wish list. Sorry. Rufus?
Rufus, you don't like his pink bag. Rufus doesn't like summer. You don't like summer?
I just don't like the... It literally, the hot, humid weather makes me sickly. And I don't mean to sound like a hypochondriac, but the truth is the truth.
Well, I think a lot of people are like that. I feel, it affects me. Yeah.
Now, somebody the other night at that little party gave me a little handheld air conditioner.
They did, didn't they?
That was really great.
That was your
Why
chef,
did you bring
buddy?
It with you? You should have brought it with you. I'd like to see.
It's cool in here.
All right. I'll see if I can find one. That'd be a nice...
But the thing that I love about the summer so much...
We've got about 10 seconds.
The roses and the phlox. I'm a great tall phlox guy.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful phlox. They've looked pretty good this year.
They have.
Yeah.
That's another one to cut back.
Yeah. Cut it back, it'll bloom again. Yeah.
Keep giving.
Miss Nelson, we'll see you in August.
Thank you.
Brother Rufus, we'll see you next week. We love everybody. Love all y'all. Jason, thank you, buddy. We'll see you next week.
Be the person your dog thinks you are.
Yeah.